this service and worship. Prayer. We were praying and worshiping. I just couldn't help but just think about His mercy in my life. He's so merciful to me. He's so merciful. I'm here because of His mercy. We're in His house because of His mercy. Because of His love for us. His love and His mercy. 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 Oh, let's love Him. Let's thank Him. We praise You. We worship You. We magnify You today. God, You're so worthy. You're so worthy. You're so worthy. Thank You for Your love in our life. Thank You for Your mercy upon us, oh God. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your forgiveness. Oh, You are a forgiving God. You are a loving God. You are a merciful God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the mighty name of the Lord. You know, the longer... Oh, somebody give God praise. My grace and my mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. I'll be with you every day. I'll never forsake you. I'll never leave you. I'll never let you down. I'll be there every day, 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 every day. What a presence of the Lord. What a presence of the Lord. The longer we live for God, the more thankful we are for His mercy and His goodness. You know, Brother Corinthian, you can be seated. We'll read from the Word here in just a moment. You're 58 years old. Now, I got word your wife's only 39. I'm only 53. That gives you 5 years over me.
So that means I'm an elder?
You're an elder. And one thing I have learned, the longer I live, the longer that list gets of regrets. You look back on that list of everything you wish you could change. And that is when you get a revelation of the mercy and the grace and the goodness of our God. Amen. Clap your hands to the Lord and give Him praise. My. What a powerful, powerful presence of the Holy Ghost here today. We're going to be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And one more time, I know I had you to be seated, but I never know when God's going to get me on a tangent. And I go, 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 go. So let's all stand one more time. It's all right. It's healthy. It's healthy. You can go home and said you did a squat today. You down, you got up. It's healthy. And we're going to read from the Word. We've been on a series for quite a while. The simplicity of Christ and the basics of faith and the basics of prayer and the Word of God.
and then for the last two Sundays, and we'll probably conclude with the foundation of where I believe the Lord has taken us, at least the first quarter of this year. Tell your neighbor, it is easy to live for God. You know, they got that old saying, they call it KISS. Anybody ever heard that saying called KISS, K-I-S-S? Keep it simple, smarty. We're not allowed to use the word stupid in our house. So let's keep it simple, smarty. I want to continue today on this subject. I feel greatly impressed to do so of the Lord. You know, when the Lord found us, we were in a mess. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Even if you lived for God all your life and you finally gave your heart to Him, you just realize how much of a mess you were in. And if I didn't need to change things about me, then I didn't need God. But I needed God. Because there's a lot of things about me that need to change. And I hope today, and as we make our way through the Word of God, that we keep that in mind. You know, it's not a wise thing to get offended at the Word. Since it's the Word, the Bible says, that we are begotten by. The best thing to do is hear the Word, and then go home and let God deal with you about the Word. All right, we're going to read from 2 Corinthians, and then we'll teach slash preach today as the Lord leads us. Chapter 11, verse 1. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, or by all means in which the adversary has, in other words, he will try anything and everything, lest by any means, in the same method, or as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with him. So Paul the Apostle is basically saying here to the church of Corinth and to me and you, that if you let Satan get in the middle of your walk with God and complicate your walk with God, because that's what he tries to do. We've been talking about that for a few Sundays. That he will bring so much confusion to you that people will actually come into your life bearing false doctrine, and you will actually stand there and listen to it, because you have completely lost your clarity of the Word. And the easiest way to keep the clarity of the Word of God is just to simply keep it simple, straightforward. Tell your neighbor, it means exactly what it says. God's Word don't need your help. He had you figured out thousands of years ago. Tell your other neighbor, the nature of man has never changed. Find one more person and say, the woman is still biting the apple. I'm just kidding. I think we're all eating that baked apple pie. And that's what we do, don't we? We bake it down, put a little sugar on it so it tastes better. All right, let's put our Bibles down. God's got to help us today, dear Lord in heaven. I think He will. Let me get through all this stuff here to where I want to start with us today. My wife gets mad at me because I read you too much. Said you read you for 45 minutes and preach on something new for 10. So I'm here to make her happy. Is she in here? Oh boy, you heard that, didn't you? I got my date in here, and I can't find it. Give me just a sec. Oh, you know what? I was already there. I didn't know there was that many pages to my notes. Okay. All right, let's pray. Lord, we need your help today. I need you to touch my mind and my heart. I ask you to touch every mind that is in this place here today. Bless us with your word. Open us up to receive the word of God, to bring it into our lives, and let it change us, God. Help us to take it into our hearts and our minds that we might understand it and receive it, that it will begin to cultivate us, Father, and change us. We ask it in the mighty, wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody say amen. 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 God bless you. Amen. Clap your hands to the Lord. And you may be seated. Those of you that are actually in true obedience and we're still standing, you're so submitted. Well, we have been talking about the simplicity, living in simplicity with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we dealt with a few things. I just want to mention real quick a couple things here. And how that Satan came in and through his subtlety, which is trickery in its best deception. The Bible, in fact, that word there, subtlety, actually has a root word which means to be skillful at deception. And so when the word of the Lord says that Satan beguiled Eve through his subtlety, what it's saying is that he watched her, he studied her, he learned her. He became skillful, knew everything about her. He knew, as we would say, know your enemy. He knew Eve, her actions. And very skillfully, he approached her. And the Bible says, deceived her. Now, Adam was in rebellion. Eve was in deception. And Eve, of course, turned to Adam. We know the story and here partake of, we call it an apple because it's red, I guess. I don't know. But whatever, you know, the fruit was. Partook of it, the eyes were opened, understanding broadened, knew they were naked, instantly became shamed and the story goes on, and behold, here are you and I. Now, if there was no temptation, you have to understand that Adam and Eve were in the purest form of innocency. There was really nothing in them in which for Satan to reach in, get a hold of, and to tempt. So you and I, we're full of love handles, full of love handles. Satan reaches into our life and he just decides which one he wants to get a hold of, grabs it, and boom, here comes temptation, right? Our fallen nature. But it was different with Adam and Eve. And so imagine how skillful he needed to be to make this happen. And of course, the Bible sort of lays that out and describes that to us. He calls the tree to become very attractive to Eve and appear to be good to eat and pleasing to the eyes and to make one wise, etc. So if he was able to do that with her, then now, at least 6,000 years later, according to how you divide the timetable, or you and I living in a world and a generation, the Bible says an untoward generation, that means a generation going away from God. The world continuously becomes more and more evil and exposed every day to so many things, our children and all of the media and everything that is going on, the propaganda, the immoral propaganda that's being pushed through today's media, trying to influence the world with their sin and their desires and their lusts. And so now here we are, we find ourselves here. And how much more capable is Satan able to trick? Now, I'm let's just all be honest. If we can all just really be honest with ourselves. And I'll give you a little leeway. We're at the end of the month. It's coming towards the end of January. So I won't say already this morning how many of you has the devil tricked. But I'll give you a break and assume that you've been perfect today. And we'll push it all the way through the month of January. Has anyone here looked back on the month of January and say, man, he got me. He tricked me. His subtlety, his deception. Only, wow, we do have a powerful church here that has completely conquered the devil. I'm impressed with that. There's only about 12 of you that have been tempted and actually failed. The rest of you have entered into perfection. So I will preach to the 12 that raised their hand. And to the other 350 that lied. All right, so we'll all be preached to here today. So we learned about simplicity and giving and prayer and faith and that this word here, simplicity, it means to be single-hearted. Everybody say single-hearted. You know, I like the way Paul the Apostle put it when he said, I espoused you to one husband. What are you doing flirting with other men? What are you doing carding other, and of course he's using this as an analogy concerning God. What are you doing carding other gods, if you please? And so they say, well, but we're not going to marry them. You really think that would be okay with my wife? If I'm married to her and if she walks in on me and I'm in the corner somewheres and there's this woman there and we're talking all sweet and nice and smiling, the little girl's giggling and things aren't looking real good. You think if I'm just going to look at her and say, no, baby, me and you married, don't worry about it. It's just me and you. I'm not going to marry this woman. I'm just carding her for a little while. That's probably not going to fly, is it? Why y'all so quiet? Y'all doing all of this? I mean, I haven't even started preaching yet. I'm feeling like I'm still in safe territory here with my church, and you can kind of respond, but dear Lord, I'm getting all this guilt being bounced back at me. And this is what Paul the Apostle is talking about. He's saying, you don't understand. I married you. This is the simplicity of Christ. It means to be single-minded, that there is only one that you court, only one that you give your affection to, only one that you are attracted to, only one that you give your time to. And so Paul the Apostle is saying, but all of these others are coming around and you so allowed your walk with God to be so complicated and you're so removed from the simplicity of your walk with God that you're actually allowing them to entertain you. Now, I'm here to tell you right now, I said it last week and I'll say it again this week because it is the truth. There are things that you and I that are entertaining today that a few years ago when I walked with God, we never gave the light of day. But we have allowed complexity to come into our life. We have compromised and we have justified. All right, that was last week. Get the CD or listen to it on the podcast. Thank you, sweetie. And so simplicity means, let me go forward here. It means the singleness or without
dissimulation or without dishonesty. I probably need to preach an entire sermon on this, but this is probably one of the most detrimental things, is that we literally become dishonest to ourselves in order to justify ourselves in things that God is dealing with us. And then we're crazy enough to believe our own lies. I mean, we're the one lying to ourselves, and then we believe the lie. So simplicity, it means to have a singleness of mind, to be focused on one thing. And that's what Paul was saying. In the simplicity of your walk with Christ, stay focused on Jesus Christ and nothing else. It means to be sincere and to do it without dishonesty. It means not to be self-seeking. All right? Now, as we continue on, we look into the word of the Lord. Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 4. So I'm not going to rehearse anymore. Let's just go forward. The word of the Lord says, "And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to do what? Spy out our liberty." Now, last week we dealt with bondage and how Satan will come in and actually put us in bondage by doing what? God says, "Look at all that I've given you, but don't touch that." What does Satan do? Satan says, "Look at what God told you not to touch." And so Satan comes us at just the opposite. He spies out our liberty. What is our liberty? Our liberty is that I have access to everything that God has ever promised me to have. My bondage is when I begin to focus on the one thing that he said stay away from. And then that one thing becomes so big we can't see, we can't even see anything else. And it's what Satan does to us in our walk with God. He'll cause us in our flesh and in our carnality to focus in on the things that God said, "No, don't do this, don't do that, don't do that." And God said that because it's going to bring harm and damage to you and your marriage and your family. And the Lord knows that. So he says, "Stay away from it. Don't do these things." But God don't focus on that. He focuses on everything else. Look at the love I'm going to give you. Look at the peace I'm going to give you. Look at the joy I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you a beautiful marriage. I'm going to help you raise your children to fear and serve God and be moral and honest and powerful in the kingdom of God. Oh, come on, somebody. We learned, I guess I am reviewing a little bit. Sorry, sweetie, I'll do it quickly. We learned about the principles of the law. Everybody say the principles. I'm going to tell you, when you get bound up, when you start trying to serve God in the legalities of the law, if you will learn the principle of the law, it will set you free. And you won't have to walk about wondering, "Oh, am I wrong? Is this wrong? Is that wrong?" No, when you learn the principle of the morality of the law of God, you can go anywheres and in any circumstance at any time, because the principle is in your heart. You can discern. And when you understand the principles of God's law in your life, it becomes very difficult for the devil to deceive you. Amen. All right, let's continue. Okay, so he said, "I fear that the affections would be fixed on other objects." 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 12. "For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity," there's that word again from Paul the Apostle, "that in simplicity," or single focus upon Christ, "and godly sincerity," everybody say simplicity, sincerity. Now watch Paul the Apostle. I'm going to try to help us today. It's tough pastoring today. There's a lot of things in the world. And every day, pastor has to, well, yeah, every day, but definitely every Sunday, he's got to get up. He's got to figure out through the week. He's got to pray, seek the face of God, and say, "God, you have got to help me help us how to walk with you in this world." There are so many things pulling on us, so many attractions, so many devices of the adversary. Say, "I am not ignorant of the devil's devices."
It's the word of the Lord. Now look at these words. I'm going to try to help us. If God will help me unfold this. My prayer is always when I preach or teach, Lord, I know that I am limited in what I'm capable and able of saying. But if you could take the little words I say and break them open in the hearts of the people and bring revelation, then we can walk out of here having learned something from the Lord. He says, for our rejoicing is this. This is what we rejoice in, Paul the Apostle said. The testimony of our conscience that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not, here it is, not with fleshly wisdom. Folks, I'm telling you right now, this is the warning. This is the damage. This is the difficulty. We are constantly trying to discern the word of God in the flesh. Say, what do you mean by that? We look at the do's and the don'ts of God's word, and we interpret it through our own lust and desires. And things that we don't lust and desire or have a want for, we don't have a problem standing up against it and preaching against it and saying, bless God, that's of the devil. But the things our flesh wants, even though the same word says this is wrong as well, we try to find some kind of way to manipulate it and rearrange it to say, well, this isn't all that bad. Oh, you know I'm walking up and down our street. Yeah, I am too. I'm ringing the bell. That in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you word. Now, this word simplicity, we've already looked at. Everybody say single-mindedness. Say, don't be dishonest to yourself. So Paul, this is what he's saying here. He's saying, clear conscience comes from what? That in simplicity, that you stay focused upon God and you do not deceive yourself. That word sincerity means clearness or purity. Don't pollute the word with fleshly wisdom, with fleshly desires, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the words of the world's philosophy and their opinions. You allow all of that to be factored into the powerful word of God, and you lose your clarity of the word of God. Paul is saying it's time to back up and put this thing the way it's supposed to be. Get back in your simple walk with God. Get single focus with Christ. And quit polluting his word with your own desires and lust. Now this is where we live. This is our problem. And this is what makes it so difficult for pastor and any other pastor that is up preaching the unadulterated word of God. And when he stands in that pulpit and he begins to preach the word and he looks at it and he says, but I'm not twisting it or turning it. It's just straightforward. I don't understand why I seem to be getting all of this resistance and rebellion. It's because you're sitting out there and you have so polluted God's word that when it comes to you in its purity, you won't even receive it. You'll say things like, that man's crazy. He's out of his mind. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's misinterpreting the word of God. Here's the problem. I'm not interpreting it at all. I'm just giving it to you. Everybody say fleshly wisdom. To have our affections for Christ mixed with other things. You know this is where we live. You know this is our struggle every day of our life. It's to somehow purify our walk with God and to become focused upon Christ again and to get clarity of mind so polluted because I have interpreted his word for so long through the flesh, I don't even know what truth is anymore. And if purity walked in before me, I would curse it and probably call it something God only knows what and cast it out because it would be so foreign and strange to me. We keep our Christianity. Oh, yeah. But we mix it with everything else so that our affections are no longer totally devoted to Christ. Christ is just one of our affections. The more we mix it, the less we become devoted to Christ, the less we become single-minded, and we become easily distracted until we wake up one day and realize that we're not devoted to Christ at all. We are now in love with our money or our entertainment. 2 Corinthians 4 and 2. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
All right. Tell your neighbor, he's only warming up. 2 Corinthians 4 and 2. But have renounced the hidden, look at this. Have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. The first thing that you and I need to do is get honest with ourselves and start denouncing the things that are dishonest. Even if you're not going to quit doing them, the best thing you can do is at least quit deceiving yourself and know you're doing wrong. At least accept that, because that's your only hope of doing right. The hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling. Oh, here it is. What? Handling the word of God deceitfully. You hold it close to your heart, but the problem is there's too many other things close there as well. And you literally handle the word of God deceitfully. You open it up, you deceive yourself, you read, you know what it's saying, but somehow you convince yourself it's something else. Or not quite as bad. I know this is tough preaching. We'll lighten up in a moment. Handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. First number, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. It's dangerous to interpret the word of God through the desires of your flesh. That's what we do. We interpret, we read, and we filter the word of God through our own lust and desires. It's why we're able to condemn in some areas but live like a devil in others. We need to be careful who we are seeking to please when we apply the word of God to our lives. Preachers, we open the word of God, and the problem is when we open it up is that we're really trying to please ourselves. It's what the word of God says. They will seek men to preach to them and tickle their ears and please them. They're looking for men to break the word of God before them, but to please them. It's not about pleasing God. It's about pleasing themselves. And sometimes we'll get into the word of the Lord and we'll read it and we'll study it and we'll actually filter that through our own lust and affections, and we will interpret the word of God to please our own lives. We'll soon find out that our lives are full of compromise. Our simplicity of Christ should be applied not by the wisdom of the flesh, but by the grace of God. Somebody say the grace of God. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, doing what? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Paul said, when you apply the word of God to your life, do it through God's grace. And what is God's grace? He's come to teach us how to live godly and soberly and deny this ungodly world.
Grace. Everybody say grace. Grace is God is divine influence upon the heart. It is the reflection in one's life. It is God divinely trying to change your heart. Do you know how it pains your pastor and how it pains God for me to preach sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon and watch you never correct these things in your life? Scratch my head and say, how obvious this is. What in the world is going on? You have interpreted God's word and the preacher through your own lust. Rather than just receiving the word of God for what it is and changing your life to line up with the book instead of changing the book to line up with you. Amen. Divine influence upon your heart. Say, I need divine influence. That's the grace of God. Friend, don't you understand that every day God works in my life and your life to change us? I don't want to hurt your feelings, and I don't want you to misunderstand me, because we're certainly not about condemnation, and you know your pastor long enough to know that we walk in his mercy, his love, and his grace. But the only time God is ever going to say to you, well done, is when you're dead. And that's only if you did well. He might say something else. But the only time you ever hear the words from the Father to his precious children, well done, is when he says, well done, enter in my good and faithful child. As long as you're alive, it's him working in your life to do well. It's no different than us working with our children. Where's Joe? I love you, hotshot. He made king of homecoming court. They voted, his old school voted him as king. Isn't that awesome? Now, not to touch on that, but just let me say that to all of my young boys and girls. That goes to show you, wherever you're scattered across this congregation, that you can live for God and live righteously and not live ungodly. And dress lustful and do the things of the world. You do that because you want to be liked by the world. You can live godly and be godly and treat people godly. And they will fall in love with you. Now, he won king. He's a great kid. He's a good kid at home. He's a good kid away. But the plastics are still in the bucket in the kitchen. How many times in the last 2 days have I asked you to get those plastics out of that bucket? Three, four, five, six, seven. He's counting. Joe, and I'm nice about it. When I pull my foot out his back, that's Joe. Get the plastics out of the kitchen. I will, Dad. I will. As soon as I'm done. Okay, son. 6 hours later, I walk by and purposely wave my hand over the little dilly, and the lid pops up, and it's still full. I'll go in. Joel, get the plastics out of the kitchen. I will, Dad. You have my word. It's going to happen right after this. Okay. I want him to know I trust him and believe in him. That when he says to me that he will do it, that it will be done. Joel, when you get home today, get the plastics out of the kitchen. He just said, you got it. Now, folks, if that's not God and us. Son, don't do that. You got it, God. Don't worry about it.
6 hours later, daughter, did I not tell you to do this? Right now, it's going to be done. Right now, going about your business, God. This is taken care of. Don't worry about it. And it's over, and it's over, and it's over, and it will be that way till the day you die. You don't get well done till after you take your last breath and pray that you did well. Until then, what is God doing? He's working in our lives every day to make us better and to make us more like him. Why? That the world will have a Savior in this world. That when they see your good works, they will glorify the Father that is in heaven. That's what this is all about, to get me and you in shape that the lost might have hope in a hopeless world. That's why God is preaching to us and instructing us and walking with us and directing us and helping us and uplifting us. And that's why the pastor gets up and he preaches the word of God about this and that. God works this. God works this. God works this. It's not about us. It's about a world that is lost and their only hope is you. I said their only hope is you. You are the only Jesus they will ever see. So, when the Word of God comes, understand that He's trying to help us reach the lost and to be saved. Now, that verse said, see if I can find it. Which one it was here. Wisdom of God, foolishness wiser than men, grace teaching us to deny. Okay. Here it is. For the grace of God, everybody say, that bringeth. Now I'm going to tell you what God's grace is. For the grace of God, because we live in a religious world today that says we're saved by grace. Now, and we are, by the way, but they use that word as a license to sin. That we can go out and do whatever we want to do and live how we want to live as long as you've confessed Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're eternally saved. You have nothing to worry about. And no matter what you do or where you go, whether you ever bring glory to Him or not, whether you ever speak His name or not, if you live a horrible life, you commit murder and rape and all of these things, as long as sometimes way back you confess Christ. And I'm not trying to belittle that, although the Word does. The Word has never been into confessing Christ. You better study the Word of God. You said, but the Word of the Lord says, you know, if I confess Him, I'll be saved. Friend, He was writing to Christians. That was written in the book of Romans to the church of Rome. It wasn't written to sinners. You do more than confess Christ. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized, the same shall be saved. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. And read Mark 16 and 16. And then another place he said, that he that believeth on me out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This he spake of the Holy Ghost, which had not yet been given because he had not yet been glorified. If you believe on God, you're going to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What must we do to be saved? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And all that does is get you in the door. That just gets you in the door so that you can start walking for God. Am I doing okay, Brother Wilson? You got that corner? That's my man there. Watch this. The grace of God that bringeth salvation. Everyone say bringeth. You know what that word bringeth means? It means defender. Oh, man. It means safety. To rescue. What does the grace of God do? It defends your salvation.
You accept Christ into your life and you become saved. You begin to walk with him. The grace of God enters into your life and does what? According to the word, it begins to teach you how to live godly. What is God doing by teaching you how to live godly? He is securing your salvation. He is defending your salvation. He's making sure that you don't lose it.
You ought to clap better than that. That's weak.
The grace of God which bringeth salvation, which defends your salvation, which keeps your salvation safe. It defies anything that tries to come against your salvation. And how does it do it? It does it through the shield of righteousness. The blessed plate of righteousness, the shield of faith. That does. It bringeth salvation. Stay with me. Doing what? Teaching. And this means to educate. So God comes into your life and he begins to educate you. About what? How to live godly. Because you didn't know how. You thought you did. A lot of us, including myself, I was in some form of godliness, some form of living for God for many years. I thought I was perfectly fine until I received the power of the Holy Ghost. And I got baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. An incredible revelation came into my life. And when I came out of that water and the word of God began to open up itself to me, and I began to see things that I had never seen before. And then all of a sudden God begins to teach me things that are wrong. I'll give you a good example of one of them. And God is gentle. He's good. He's a kind God. And listen, tell your neighbor, pastor loves you, but I will not die with your blood on my hands. I will not die with your blood on my hands. And the word of the Lord says, if I don't preach the word that you will not hear, and you will die in your sins, but your blood will be on my hands. He said, but if I preach the word and you disobey it, you'll still die in your sins, but your blood won't be on my hands. I'm not going before the throne with your blood on my hands. It's not going to happen. One of the things that the Lord taught me, and I didn't know this. I was totally innocent of this. And you got to follow me. Listen, that's why pastor says, don't touch my new converts. Leave them alone. Let God, let me preach to them and let God work with them. You leave them alone. I don't care what they look like or how they sound or dry. You leave them alone. You let them grow up. The world will take care of it. It'll take care of it. But God will deliver it when it's right. And he'll break it down in such a way that even the baby can eat it. Right? I can preach it so that this strong man of God right here can chew on the meat and gristle and fat for an hour. And the same little bitty baby sitting next to his lovely wife here can suck it down like it's been pureed or something. Is that the right word? Pure. Were they... juice it up. Yeah. Okay. Where was I? Oh. And so it is my duty to deliver the word of the Lord, and that I will do, but I will always do it in love. Well, I was serving God. I talked in tongues. I got the Holy Ghost in a charismatic church. Hadn't been baptized in Jesus' name yet. Went along. Finally, 6 months later, I believe it was, I got buried in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation started coming into my life. I started learning things. But there was a lot of things I was still ignorant of because I had not heard it preach. These people die because of what? Lack of. They're destroyed, right? And so the only way we get knowledge is through the what? Through the word of God. That's where it comes from. It's where our faith comes from. It's where our knowledge comes from. And so whether it's through you reading or whether it's through the man of God preaching. But watch this. Here's where it's at. When you're reading the word of God, as much as we don't want to do this, it's just our nature. When we are reading the word of God, it's what I preached earlier. We are receiving the word of God, and we are filtering it through our carnal nature. So sometimes the word of God cannot just leap out and speak to us in purity. We can read right over it, something we're doing wrong, and we'll just go right through it and shout and rejoice and keep going and never even saw that because we're filtering it through our own minds of understanding. So what does God do? God calls a preacher. And this is the reason why the word of the Lord says you cannot be saved without a preacher. Tell your neighbor, you cannot be saved without a preacher. People say, well, I'll stay home. You'll die and go to hell. You cannot be saved without a preacher. You cannot be saved without a preacher. You don't want to receive that, but you cannot be saved without a preacher. So if you don't like me, you better find a preacher, but you better find one going to preach truth. And so one day what happens, the preacher gets up, and now it's not just the word of God, but the anointing is breaking that word forth. So I'm not only hearing the words, but it's coming up against me through the anointing word of God. And I walked around as a young man. I had hair down almost to my buttocks, and it was way down. It was feathered. I told you before, I split down the middle. It was layered and feathered on the side. I was gorgeous. All 125 pounds of me. I didn't know the Bible said it was a shame for a man to have long hair. I didn't know that was in there. Preachers don't preach that today. They didn't preach that when I was a kid. They don't preach nothing. Look at your neighbor and say, thank God I'm in an apostolic church. And because the world don't preach anything, when we, now you can't get it much shorter than that, brother. So you are in. I'm telling you, you are in. I love that guy. I'm just messing. And because they don't preach these things, there's another holy. Because they don't, my God, all the men in my church bald? I've never noticed that. All the anointing flowing through this place everywhere. And because they don't preach it, then you come to a church and then the preacher gets up and he's in the Word of God. It's not like he's just talking out the top of his head. He's in the Word of God. He's preaching the Word of God. It's straightforward. You bow up and look at him and say, what's the matter with you? Is this an occult? No, this isn't an occult. It's the Word of God. And this one thing I will promise you, as hard as I will ever preach it, it will never be as hard as the Word of God really is. Because you and I will never live up to the Word of God. Never live up to the Word of God. We only struggle and try and do our best. And so I don't know when, what, or how, but the word was broken and the seed was planted and the preacher got up and preached it. And I went, what are you talking about? Flip my hair over my shoulder. What are you talking about? I talk in tongues. I pray. I feel God when I get on my knees. God touches me and blesses me. That's the very reason why he came to me and talked to me, because he wants to bring me up higher. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is. You say, well, then don't tell me and let me stay in my sin. If I don't tell you and let you stay in your sin, the Bible says you will die in your sin. The only choice is for the preacher to preach it and pray that you will receive it and go do something about it. Because when you hear the word of God and you obey the word of God, the blessings of God will flow from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. You will feel his glory. You will feel his power. He'll begin to work in your life. God have mercy. You'll see divine miracles from the Almighty God. Now tell your neighbor, now when he preaches on me, I'm going to shout then too. That word of God came, it got in my heart, planted a seed. And I told this story before. One day I wanted to, Jesse, where's Jesse? I wanted to sing in the choir. I know it. I know it. I see Jesse going. Gonna recoup me for one of them men. And but the preacher had preached. Now listen, it convicted me. It convicted me. I went home and read it in the Word. And, you know, I filtered the word through my flesh like I preached to us earlier. And I said, oh, well, I made up all kinds of excuses and I complicated everything. And then I justified it and went on about my way. And when I got down on my knees and prayed and spoke in tongues, I felt just as much God as I had always felt. Why? Because even though the plastics are still in the bucket, I love you. In the kitchen. I still love that boy. And if he would come up to me right now, I'm just talking, so don't do it. If he would come up to me right now and ask me for $100, I do not have $100 on me. And if I would have had $100, I gave mine in the offering. Who's got $100? Anybody got $100? Y'all so stingy. I'd still give it to him. If he came up to me and talked to me, he would have my undivided attention. And the plastics are still in the bucket. Because I will never stop loving him. God will never stop loving you. But it doesn't mean that he's not trying to fix something in your life so that you can bring glory to his name, so that somebody who's going to hell for eternity might be able to see your good works that came from Christ and glorify the Father that is in heaven. Listen, when the world sees you change and begin to live for God, they know it's not you. It is God. And if God can do it for us, he can do it for them. I wanted to sing in the choir, and so finally, you know, I knew what I had to do. I went and got the crazy stuff cut off. I've told that story. I'm not going to tell it. And I'm telling you, when I walked outside of that beautician parlor, I had to get mine cut. I couldn't go to a man's barbershop. I had to go to a woman's barbershop. That should have told me something. And they cut all that off. And I walked out of that trailer. And two things at the same time hit me. And thank God they hit me at the same time. More condemnation than I have ever felt in all of my life slammed me in my heart. But at the same time, more love of God wrapped his arms around me. He wanted me to feel. You see, sometimes until we come out of our sin, until we actually obey God, until we obey the Word of God, do what the Word of God says, put aside the sin, bring the confusion out of our life, get the ungodliness out of our life, fix whatever's wrong in our life, and bring ourselves into obedience to the Word of God. Until we do that, we do not recognize the ugliness that we were in. But the moment we respond, we can see the ugliness. That's the condemnation. Oh my God, what if I really in that much rebellion? But at the same time, his arms wrap around you and say, I love you. I will always love you. And he raises us up in his glory and in his power. Somebody say grace. Grace does what? It teaches us. So it educates us. We get into the Word of God. We open our mind and our heart. And the grace of God educates us. I'm going to try to bring this to a close. I know I've been holding you for a while. Teaches us to do what? To deny ungodliness. That means to disavow. That's strong. I have made vows with my ungodliness. Try. You don't realize it, but you have. You have made commitments. You say, well, how do you know that? Sometimes we will spend more and go out of our way more and commit more of a sacrifice in order to fulfill a lust in our flesh than we will do for God when we come to the house of the Lord. I'm surprised y'all showed up, as cold as it is, but I appreciate it. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord on this frigid day. It's hot now. I know it's hot now, but it was cold before I started preaching. And why would you do that? Because you have made vows to your ungodliness. You are in courtship with your ungodliness. And that word deny means you need to break your vows. That's what it means. So grace does what? It comes to teach us to do what? To break our vows. To cut off your ungodliness. If ungodliness didn't matter, then why does God go through the trouble to teach you? To torment you? To make you mad? To discomfort you? To bring condemnation into your life? Why does he do that? Is he a child abuser? No, he does that because he knows it's necessary in order for you and I to be saved. Be you holy, for he is holy, thus saith the Lord. Clap your hands to the Lord and give God praise. Okay, let me finish this one little verse and we'll quit. So teaching us, educate us to deny, to break our vows with the ungodliness, which is irreverence to the word of God. That particular word there, ungodliness, is irreverence to the word of God. To hear the word of God and be irreverent to it. Ungodliness, worldly, lust, a long for the forbidden. See, what we have to remember is that God is dealing with our fallen nature every day. And he understands that. That every day there are wants, music, you can come. There are wants and there are desires. I preached a long time today, I'm sorry. There are wants and desires in our heart and in our spirit. God knows that. So he teaches us what is right, what is wrong, what is good. This world has been so deceived, this religious world has been so deceived, that now when a man of God just simply stands and preaches truth, he's looked at as though he's the heretic. When you stand for godliness today, you're the weirdo. Everybody else is normal. You give this 100 years, and to actually be married to someone of the opposite sex, to have both of those combinations, married and it be the opposite sex, will be the oddest thing you'll ever see. People live together because they don't want commitment. You don't want me to get off on that. If you're living with someone, you're giving your body and your time, sister, and that man don't have the guts to marry you and the commitment to marry you, you are foolish. He will never stay with you. He is not committed to you. It's just till something better comes along. That's right. You go home, pop the question. Let's get married. I want to get to know you better. You ain't going to get to know me no better than you know me right now. Now let's go get married. Or you can pack your bags and go on with yourself. All right. All right. I'm not preaching on that today. You know, every day, there's about 100 new pastors that take office. And there's about 130 that resign. That means the number's going down, not up. I'm not resigning. They're going to start dancing in the spirit. Thank you. That was sweet. Especially after this message. Which, by the way, I never got to. So we'll have to extend this probably one more Sunday. Lord, if the Lord wants us to, we'll pray about it. They're just tired. They're frustrated. And so what's happened is the ones that don't resign, they just start compromising. Well, I know a lot of apostolic preachers who I love, friends. They just gave up. They're tired of preaching this incredible truth and losing all these people, pray a few through, lose. Well, that's the world we live in. And Jesus fed 5,000, not counting the men and women, loaves and breads and miracles. He gets up and preaches a sermon, and the only ones left are 12. And he says, "Will you leave me too?" And I love their answer. Where would we go? You alone have the words of truth. That's what we want. It's true. So let's stand. You don't have to come down. Just stand. I've been preaching for a while. I'm not going to hold you any longer here, but I want you to say with me, there are things that I do not know that God's word will reveal in my life that I need to change. See, pastor's going to preach this thing. The Lord usually leads me about once a year. Sometimes it's once every other year. But if I don't preach holiness and righteousness and separation, we will lose it. We'll lose it. And pastor will get up here and he'll look at this congregation and we'll all look like the world. I won't be able to tell you from the world. Just like the other 99.9% of churches. Tabernacle of Pentecost is not a social club. It is an entrance to the kingdom of God. And we've got to keep it that way. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But now I promise you, I will not get out of that book or compromise. But here's my point. I'm not going to preach anything that's not in that book. So it's not like I'm going on some wild goose chase to force you to live a certain way. Hey, I'm fleshly too. I preach it because it's in the book, and we preach all of the book, not just the love scriptures, but we preach those, because if it wasn't for his love, they ain't one of us be here. If it wasn't for his grace and his mercy and his goodness and his kindness and his forgiveness, there would none of us be here. There's not one of us living right. But all of us are walking the path of righteousness. And when he comes down for a church, he's not looking for perfection. He's just going to reap all those that are on the path of righteousness. It's a journey. It's a journey. So I want you to pray for pastor, pray for yourself. Don't stay home, because you're going to be responsible for it anyway. Besides that, the weekend you stay home will be the weekend God will have me preach on love, joy, and peace. And then the next week you come, he'll get you. I'll announce, I'm preaching next Sunday on love, joy, and peace. And you'll show up. And while I'm walking to the pulpit, God will go, by the way, I just changed your message. So I want us to be a church that separates ourselves, dedicates ourselves, consecrates ourselves. And I know I'm preaching this on Sunday mornings, and that's unusual, but that's when most of you show up. You're missing Wednesday nights. Now, I'm telling you, God has been moving on our Wednesday night services. You need to get those CDs or listen to those podcasts. But I'm trying to strengthen the whole body of Christ. We get this right, we walk down this path, And we live this in love and compassion because Pastor preaches it hard. You know, don't you ever condemn. Don't you ever judge. Judge not lest you be judged. You love everybody. Jesus loves everybody. You love everybody. Let him love them through you. And don't try to fix them out there. He does the fixing. You just want to love them, teach them a Bible study, bring them to church. Let's get them baptized in Jesus' name. And by the way, if you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, the water's out there. It's warm, ready to go. We'll baptize you today in Jesus' name. And if you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, man, you'll come out of that water. Power of God will fall on you, and your life will be changed forever. Forever. You say, well, I don't know if I want to walk down this path you've been talking about. Well, actually, I didn't even really get on anything yet. But I don't know if I want to walk down this. It's the only path. Jesus didn't say, I'm one of the ways. He said, I am the way. I'm the way. There are easier paths, but there's only one. Well, they say, you know, all kinds of roads go to New Orleans or Las Vegas. But we're not going to Las Vegas. They gamble there. And most of them lose. We're going to heaven. And there's only one road. There's only one road. And that is Jesus Christ. That's his word, his truth. How are you going to argue with the man who died for you when it comes to salvation? You're going to tell me, well, it's by grace, through faith, we're saved. That's absolutely right. His grace teaches you how to live godly. Your faith is what connects you to him. I understand that. That's perfectly fine. But the one who shed his blood for you, the one who died for you, the one who brought salvation to you said, unless you're born of the water and spirit, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, how are you going to argue with the one that actually died for you? It's his salvation, and he's not going to compromise it. And he said the only way to get into the kingdom is to be buried, is to repent of your sins, right? He said that as well. Luke chapter 24 and others. He said, I guess you feel that the 18 whom the tower fell upon or more evil than everybody else. He said, no. He said, except you repent of your sins, you shall all likewise perish. You have to repent of your sins. He said, you have to be born of the water. He gave that revelation to Simon Peter, and Simon Peter and the apostles carried it through. Why are we baptized? For the remission of our sins. And he said, you must be born of the Spirit. It's the death, burial, and resurrection. It is the gospel, and the religious world has polluted it. And they have pulled things out of context, and most of them get up and preach for an hour and never use a single scripture from the Word of God. You must be born again. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. And the only biblical way to be baptized is Jesus' name. There is no other way. And I say that to you in love. And you must receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The world has made it an option. Jesus said, without my Spirit, you're none of mine. None of mine. No man calleth him Lord except by the Holy Ghost. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. And so if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, if you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, I want you to know you're in the right place. We will love you. We will care for you. We will help you. We will be there for you. We will walk with you. We will never judge you. We will never condemn you. We will always support you, no matter what. Always. I can get up here and preach against the same sin for 51 years, if I last that long. And if you never change in 51 years of me preaching every single Sunday the same sin, the day before I resign, I'll still hug your neck and tell you, I love you. I got so mad at one of my saints, Late Charles. I know y'all don't think I get mad at you, but I'm hurrying. I was pastoring Late Charles. Stella, that's her name. Feel the passion and the love come out of me. Stella. I preached to her for 2 years. She got the Holy Ghost, got baptized. I just preached. She just happened to be in the front row and center. For 2 years, revival going on, I preached and preached and preached about living for God and separating yourself and cleaning yourself up inside and out and being an example before the world for Christ, and preached and preached and preached and preached. She never changed nothing. But she was there. My wife and I resigned to come to West Palm Beach. The Lord spoke to me and in prayer, and I told my wife, I said, baby, we're resigning in 3 months. We were looking for a house. We were running 230. We were debt-free. We were in great revival. We didn't want to go nowhere. But the Lord said, you're moving. Didn't tell me where. A couple weeks later, he told me it was going to be West Palm Beach, and that's a long story, but God confirmed everything. Told my wife, I said, Brother White's going to call. He's going to offer us the church. She said, there's no way that's going to happen. He just built that church. I said, I'm telling you what the Holy Ghost told me. 2 weeks later, he calls. And so I knew it was God. We made it. We did it. We're here. We've been here. I was in West Palm Beach for 1 week. 1 week. I don't think I ever got a baptized, did I? I think she got the Holy Ghost, but I can't remember. Was it the Holy Ghost or baptism? Had to matter. 1 week, 1 week, and she calls me up, and she's all excited. Pastor, I just wanted you to know, Brother so-and-so preached last Sunday, the new pastor, and the Lord convicted my heart, and I changed, and she went down the list, and I went, I screamed at you for 2 years. And this guy, because he's better looking than I am, in 1 weekend. Bottom line is, we'll never give up on you. We'll always love you. We'll always be here for you. No matter what you choose. And I just ask the same. Let me preach. Don't tie my hands. Don't muzzle me. Let me preach the word of God. But I'll stay in the book. I will not get out of the book. I will preach the word of God. Let's let the Lord know that we're going to be willing to let the word be preached. We're not looking for someone to tickle our ears, Pastor. We want the word of God preached to us. Because every one of us have to change. Every one of us have to fix something in our lives. Lord willing, over the next few weeks, I'm going to be saying things and you're going to go, I didn't know that was wrong. Neither is the word condemning. It is teaching. It is instructing. And how you should respond, it should be, oh, I didn't know that. I won't do it again, and I'll fix it. I'll change it. And the moment you change it, the glory of God will begin to move through you. And you'll feel a heightenedness in your spirit of his power and his resurrection. So don't get mad at Pastor. Just say, look, it's in the book. It's straightforward. You say, well, that was written 2,000 years ago. Then throw the whole book away. It was all written 2,000 years ago. But it crossed every generation. I'm sorry for making you stand. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. I pray for this congregation. Help us
to walk in righteousness. Lead us and guide us. I pray for my mind and my spirit. Oh, God. Oh, God. Don't let me preach in the flesh. I don't want to preach my opinions, my personal beliefs. God, I want to preach your word. I want your word to be true, powerful, and strong in our lives. And I pray for this congregation that we will receive it, every one of us, that we will receive the word of God into our lives. And that we will change accordingly, because this is about you, Jesus. It's about reaching the lost. It's about me becoming everything I can to please you. I want to please you. I want to please you, Jesus. I want to please you, Jesus. This church wants to please you. So help us. Help us to love the sinner. To be kind to them and to speak well of them, to pray for them. Help us to love one another, encourage one another, never speak evil of one another, but to uplift one another and strengthen one another. And help us to receive your word into our lives and let it change us. As difficult as it will be, let it change us. I ask it in the powerful, wonderful, glorious name of Jesus Christ. And everybody say, amen. Amen. God bless you. I love you. You're the greatest people in the world. Thank you for letting me preach to you. Greet one another. Find somebody you don't know and greet them. Tell them it's good to see them. Joel, don't forget those plaskets in that bucket at home. Remember Sister Robotham in prayer. She lost her brother a few days ago. Remember Sister Robotham in prayer. She's here somewhere. Find her, hug her. There she is. Give her a big hug. Hold her tight. And also, Frederica, Freddie's with us. Love you, sweetie. God bless you. And pray for her as well. Lost her brother. Love you. God bless you.
Can you ask?
We need some help on the platform. Give me some strong men that will help us come tear down the platform. Take these speakers down. You're the greatest people in the world. Fellowship, you got 20.